Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
For 25 years, Seth Lightman has seen it all. From the newest electric car revolution, solar power, bike lanes made in NYC. And now we are here. More electric cars, need for more renewables and eco-friendly products in our world. Well, now it's time for an all-out podcast for this time. You're listening to The Green Living Guy Show. He's funny, real, exactly on point. And some think his style is so raw, it's crazy. Let's do this, folks. It's time for The Green Living Guy Show with Seth Lightman.
Green Living Guy here. What's going on, everybody? Wow, it is a great day here in New Hampshire. Yes, I'm in New Hampshire. I'm not running for president. Slow down. I'm here because I'm at Merchants Fleet and they're having an electrified all-out EV summit for all of their fleet buying companies. So like when Chevy Silverado says, we're only doing fleets for the first year. Well, guess what they have here? A Chevy Silverado for the fleets. So that's what's going on. But I am with, and by the way, the people at Merchants Fleet are fantastic people, and I heavily suggest them for your fleet needs. And yes, this is a sponsored podcast, so I can say that. But I'm here with Ted Legue, who is the director of ESG. So environment, sustainability, and what's the G part?
Governance.
Governance.
Environmental, social governance.
Environment, social governance for Merchants Fleet. And he's helping heavily with the electrification and the charging and getting everything to be all ESG purdy for their company. And from what I have seen and what you will see on my Instagram reels and my Facebook posts and video, you're going to see these people are absolutely no joke. But when does the Green Living Guy ever deal with people who are a joke? Never. So, Ted, thank you so much for being here. This is an absolute pleasure. And tell me how Merchants Fleet got involved, not in vehicles, I get that part, but when did they decide to, I guess, pull the trigger and go on this electric front that they're doing now, which is more, and it's appropriate for today, more innovative than anybody else I've seen in the business. So
Yeah, absolutely. Well, excited to be here. Jazzed you're here as well. So Merchants really got into the EV space a number of years ago, so actually predating me. So I joined in late 2021, and previous to that, they already had their EV team going. So
Okay. We
made a pretty tremendous commitment early on in the realm of fleet EV space. So I would, don't literally quote me on this, but I would say probably in 2020, we jumped in heavily
Okay. In
the EV space.
All right.
One of the big things we did with our EV team, especially with Hari, who's absolutely wonderful on our team, is made not just a small commitment, but a rather big commitment.
Said, yeah, okay, you went Texas on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we went Texas on this. You
know? Which is like, go big or go home, folks. I mean, they went big. I mean, if you would, when you guys see the photos here, they went big. So go ahead.
Yeah. So we made a big commitment with roughly 40,000 reservations, which has increased over the years, and roughly $2 to $2.5 billion worth of reservations into the EV space.
$2.5 billion, folks, with a B.
Yeah.
Not an M, but a B.
With a B. So tremendous, tremendous commitment from us. And it's really, as you know, it's the future of transportation, and it needs to be. Yeah. That's when we I'd say didn't even just jump, leapt into the space.
Yeah. So you work and have worked with all of these truck companies, car companies throughout, I guess, the 20 plus years that Merchants Fleet has been around. So the transition to saying, hey, now we want the electrics, wasn't that far of a leap, except being saying, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like contacting Dodge, I'm wearing a Ram hat, folks, but contacting Dodge and say, we want you to bring your Ram truck here, or we want to work with you on that.
Yeah.
They were like, sure. No, it wasn't that, like, I guess the question is, were the car companies receptive to your request of saying, we want to electrify our fleets?
Yeah, that's, and thankfully there's a whole army of people that deal with that here within our operations team and EV team. So they can give you better guidance on that. My realm is really more within merchants and creating the strategy of doing well by doing good for our planet, people, and community. But Steven on our team, Hari on our team, great resources I can give you.
Okay.
Very in-depth detail, I'm sure.
For sure.
All of that.
So what else then in ESG are you doing besides the fleet?
Yeah. So when I started in December of 2021 is when we put our formal ESG program into place. That being said, there was a lot of sustainability activities already occurring within the company.
Okay.
What we did, or what I did with my team, is really said, okay, what does ESG mean to us, both internally and externally outside the company? And when I say ESG to a broad audience, that doesn't click, right? No. So we should maybe take a step back, and the direct correlation and the direct definition of ESG is environmental, social, and governance, right?
Okay.
So I tell you that, or I tell the broader audience that, it's still probably like, okay, what the hell is that? So
what the hell is that?
So recognizing that, realizing that, and how it needs to speak to a broader audience to really be resilient over time is, it's similar to Brendan's keynote today, right? It's really simple to make things difficult. It's difficult to make them simple.
So it is.
It's, that was a focus of ours, is how do we make this simple and to click and really show the values of, for us? What is our strategy? So our ethos, our ESG ethos at the company is, we fundamentally believe merchants will do well and continue to do well as a company by doing good for our planet, our people who are employees, and our greater communities. We fundamentally believe that. And by doing so, that's our simple way of saying, this is our ethos. We believe we will do well by doing good for the world, right?
So you're also into the giving back part of the company.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay. All right.
Beyond saying the strategy and really overseeing the ESG at the company, is we do get our hands dirty quite a bit. So I oversee the non-EV realm of the company, which is why I bring up Hari and the rest of the EV team has been great resources for that. So we oversee the sustainability side of the company outside of the realm of EV, as well as handling quite a bit of the corporate philanthropy, which we're overhauling this year, which is largely community driven. So both giving and serving, so financial donations and giving back time.
Okay.
And then people as well. So everything.
So do you do like, because I saw here, in the, I'm joking, folks, in the rain, it's a little rainy here, but that you have like a community garden or like a so they compost here, folks, and they take the compost and they put it in their garden and they're growing tomatoes and other things there. So is that, are you doing that for other people in your community besides here?
So it's largely, so with the garden, for instance, is largely, it's entirely employee driven, entirely employee run. Most of the food goes back to the employees as well. But something just interesting with the garden that's exciting this year is we're doing a pretty substantial food drive. It's called our Supercharged Food Drive event. Okay. It's been also called our Fave Food Event because we're trying to fill a van full of food.
Okay.
And one of the things we're trying to do is take any of the leftover food that we can and try to give it back to the pantries that we'll be delivering throughout New England in an EV vehicle. But it's kind of interesting. So it's a good example that you bring up the merchant's garden, because the primary focus for me these past 18 months is really building the culture and mindsets within the organization to sustainably, no pun intended, be sustainable in the future. And if you think about our ESG ethos of doing well by doing good, there's actually another subsection of that for me, is to do good, you must first be good, mm-hmm, right? And mm-hmm. to be good, I mean, build the mindset and the culture within the organization. And
right.
how you do that is through these high volume, high visibility solutions that surrounds the employees with goodness. So Merchant's Garden, you bring up the composting, mm. all of our, we removed all the single use plastics within our cafe. We provide composting options for employees to use on their own outside of home. We provide EV incentives up to $2,500 for our employees, up to $800 for the charging infrastructure. We
wow.
are constantly trying to surround our employees with these opportunities to do good, to one, build that mindset, but create this culture where we can successfully scale goodness at large with our clients, which is really, we've done certainly over the past couple of years, but I feel like we're at this tipping point of mm-hmm. watch out world. We got some good coming.
Oh, right. All right. You heard it here, folks. How has the mindset changed going greener in the
yeah.
community? Like you come in, you're trying to create this mantra, which I know for myself, I'm trying to create that mindset globally here.
Yeah.
So you're trying to do it within Merchant's Fleet. What did you do, and how well has it been received in the community, in your company?
It's a great question. There's a couple of pieces to it. Is starting back with that ethos of doing well, doing good, is really trying to shift this mindset of you're either seeking profit mm. or you're seeking sustainability in terms of making the planet a greener place, right? And oftentimes, unfortunately, there's been this adversarial conflict between the two of you either need to do it out of the goodness of your heart or you need to go seek profit.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is really meld those two together. And we're at the point of, so taking it a step further back, is some companies will have ESG or sustainability programs and then their business. They'll live harmoniously together. Like you've got ESG over there, business. Companies that are a bit more successful, which is the stage we're in right mm. now, we're moving past soon, is complementary, saying, hey, not only is this good for the world and making our employees happy and so on and so forth, is we're gaining new clients, we're finding efficiencies, and we're doing good. And the more money we can make, the more that we can do these good things. But the really exciting piece here is saying it's okay to do it from a business perspective. It's okay for you to do it to seek a profit
mm.
so long as that positive impact is happening on the other side of the house too. And if we allow those two to support one another and drive each other forward, the greater impact we're going to have. And that's when I say exciting coming, is we're moving to this stage of really allowing sustainability to lead business innovation within mm. our company.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm jazzed.
Yeah, I mean, I know that when I see sustainability work in my community, I'm like, this is outrageous, because you would never think that people would put it together as being effective and not just green for the altruistic mm. benefit, but also helps your business, because
yes.
people see you leading in a sustainability space. And as we move forward, people are more interested in working with companies that are sustainably
yeah.
centric and minded. I work with two companies. One is One Tree Planted and mm-hmm. Evertreen,
yeah.
and I'm planting a global. So I'm building a global forest
yeah.
with Evertreen, and I grow it every month.
Yeah,
I'm not looking for anything, just to show that my forest is growing
yeah.
and show where I'm planting trees, and
yeah.
that's exciting stuff.
Shout out to Evertreen, because
yeah.
this year we'll plant over 11,000 trees with
wow.
Evertreen. And that's another example of high visibility, high volume solutions that we're doing, is for every employee that joins our company, we plant 10 trees.
Oh, that's great.
And it's again, this mindset, it's doing good things, but we're trying to attract, like, just call it out. We're trying to attract top talent.
Yes.
Because we want people to be able to get here and be sustainability superstars and help our clients achieve greatness as well.
Right.
Right. And we're also happen to be doing great things for the planet.
Yeah, I mean, it's 11,000 trees, folks, is absolutely no joke. I'm only close to 2,000, but, you know, I'm a smaller company.
Yeah.
But
shout out to you. 2,000 trees is 2,000 trees.
So it's, you know, and it'll only grow every year.
Yeah.
And then with one tree planted, I do another 100 trees. So I'm doing like 200. One with 100 with Evertreen. And then I just started doing 100 with one tree planted. So with that, on the one tree planted side, I do, we're working to restore the monarch butterflies in Mexico. We're planting trees in inner cities. And we're also, which was a request for me, was we're starting to, again, reforest the Amazon.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And like,
with and those, to say those things is like, it's not like I want anything for it, but it's just like, this is what I'm doing to do my part.
And it's wonder, it's a wonderful thing too, because what's so, what I love so much, which is a lot of things about ESG, is they're so fundamentally intertwined with different social causes as well. Like, you look at planting trees, it's wonderful. They're planting trees, they're sequestering carbon out of the air. Wonderful. Hard stop. But then also with these programs too, you're providing socioeconomic benefits for these folks in certain regions of the world that do not have reliable, safe work. So you're helping local communities as well.
That's correct.
It's a wonderful thing. Yeah.
I love the other fact of, like, with Evertreen, that some of the trees, you're guaranteed you're planting fruit.
Yes. Yes.
So it's not like you're just planting a tree that's sequestering carbon, but you have something that has a recurring food source for the community.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. I mean, we do Indonesia, the mangroves and all that kind of stuff. So it's great to see that you're a part of that. Yeah, Evertreen contacted me, I think it was 2-3 years ago, and said they wanted to do a forest with me. They had heard about me through Hewlett Packard.
Oh, yeah.
Because Hewlett Packard's doing their forest with them. And I know a lot of guys from Hewlett Packard, so they contacted me and said, would you like to do something?
Yeah.
And I said, sure. And they were more than happy with my recurring donation, and it's grown just exponentially. So I'm very grateful for that. So the other side of it is governance. So tell me what, on the governance side, then Merchants Fleet is doing that's on this ESG tract.
Yeah. So we've got some exciting things hopefully coming down the pipeline too that I can talk more about.
Okay.
But in its essence, governance oftentimes isn't the sexiest of topics, but it's a very important one.
Yes.
So the rules, policies, procedures, the systems that we put in place to ensure that we are effectively following through with what we say and doing it in an ethical manner, right? So
You're inclusive?
Yes.
Okay, so you're inclusive, you're I'm trying to think what are some of the other governance factors.
Governance is, you can kind of think of the umbrella of holding the glue that holds all the goodness together, right? So like with diversity, equity, and inclusion, for instance, we would typically put that under the social section.
Yeah.
But we have rules and policies put in place to make sure that these things that we're saying are actually coming to life. So when we say we are inclusive company, it's like, okay, what does that mean? Like, that's a buzzword. Saying it like, I hate saying it. Like,
I didn't want to go there, but I didn't want to go there, folks. But you know, we really know the truth.
So people see me as sometimes, I'll use a nicer word than others, but rein us in on what we say, because we need to be able to have a certain level of credibility. We need to have the utmost level of credibility. And when we say things, when we go out there and we say diversity, equity, inclusion is a priority for us, we damn well better have a plan in place to make sure that's true.
That's correct.
So for us, for instance, when we say we're an inclusive company, we have a number of programs that we put out for employees to join. So from employee resource groups, where employees from certain topics, allies, ambassadors, so on, can get together and move forward these topics that 10 years ago weren't being spoken about as much.
Oh, yeah. Not even the things we're talking about today were something that we would never talk about in 2000.
Yeah. And it's wonderful because it's giving voices to employees that other times might not have had an active voice in the conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
And what that does for us is it provides us with a great deal of stakeholder materiality of, like, what is important to our employees? Because you know what? beyond that stuff, again, the feel good stuff, it helps us to really determine a meaningful strategy moving forward and pulling them into that as well. So, yeah.
So do you think that the governance, first you have your mission statement, of course, which is probably part of your yeah. code of ethics and code of conduct and everything like that. So, tell me about let's start with the diversity side.
Yeah.
When you came in, what was done to recruit a diverse array of people?
Yeah, so that's baked into our recruiting framework. And so we have
system. Your recruiting system.
Yeah. Through our,
mind you, folks, you have to understand the CEO in his conversation today said, without systems, you have nothing. So if you hear the word systems, it's because it's the word of the day. So yes. Go ahead.
If this system, when I say system, is actually a software system that we use to help us build diversity within our recruiting. So right now we're roughly, I say, don't quote me on this. I'm on the podcast. I can get you the actual numbers, but we're roughly 50-50% male, female within the company right now is one example in a fleet industry that is heavily male dominated.
That doesn't happen, folks. This is fleets. If you looked at the demographics of everybody here, it's mostly men.
Yeah.
There's some women, strong women here. They're doing great, kicking butt. But I am in their cube farm, folks, and I'm seeing a lot of women around here besides men, and that's a big thing. So.
And we honestly are better for it, and beyond the gender divide as well. It's like just diversity is beyond being frankly, call it out, just a more enjoyable place to work, is there's greater diversity of thought to help us grow, right?
Yeah.
To innovate, another example of that.
Right.
But diversity lives even well beyond our direct hiring, too. So one of our big focuses is diversifying our supply chain. When I say diversifying supply chain, I don't mean just, find multiple OEMs with a similar product. It's finding suppliers with a diverse identify as being diverse, of BIPOC, for instance, or veteran-owned, or so on and so forth. And so what we did is...
So the vendors that you're identifying for your company, not just product vendors that you're offering to your clients, but internally, all of the products that you're buying, you're looking further to determine if they're owned by... a BIPOC community or women owned or diversity or any of that kind of stuff.
And one of the things too, we do on the smaller scale too, where we have even more direct control, is look at where you're located as well. So for instance, from a sustainability standpoint, if we can get something down the street opposed to shipped from California, we're going down the street. So we look at locality and small businesses as well. So for us, one of the big things we did is it's now a requirement for all suppliers, all vendors within our corporation. We developed, a system.
Yeah.
We developed a system to survey and understand every single supplier and vendor we use. You are going to be surveyed so we can understand, is there a certain level of diversity baked in that would help us and help them? And what's really exciting...
Is it like a company profile from your vendors? Like a vendor profile kind of thing?
We'll send out a survey and say, XYZ, where are you located? Do you identify as being XYZ? Is the ownership 51% or more in this certain direction?
Yeah.
And what's exciting about that is, again, to give you another example of governance, is we put out a corporate supplier and diversity sustainability policy. Again, not something that's going to get headlines or be sexy, but I needed to make, again, damn sure that if we're going to say these things, it's not a philosophy, it is a strategy. And if it's a strategy, we need to be putting things into place to ensure that our employees are encouraged to work with these vendors and suppliers. So
again, just a little tidbit for everybody here. The person that I'm working with from Merchants Fleet noted to me that even the coffee that I'm drinking was a local vendor. Yeah. So it wasn't like they just shipped in a Starbucks.
No.
They actually hired a local vendor who gets, who they insisted on that. So they're really trying to find companies that are in the community to service merchants' needs. So I find that commendable. So even like your paper vendors and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, everybody. So
we break you down into two key areas. Our critical suppliers, which is our top 80% spend, which as you can imagine is a lot of OEMs out there.
Yeah.
But then we also have our corporate support vendors, which are highly controllable, like our caterers, everything you see at the event today, corporate support vendor. And what we did there is we said, okay, let's go through this list and see who we've used in the past.
Right.
And let's say, okay, what are our priorities? Priorities are one, identifying one, of course, have to be competitive, have to provide the service. Yeah. Two, diversely owned. Three, locally owned. Or four, small business. So what we did is we went through, found all those options and said, okay, who are our preferred vendors? Who are the vendors that we have to tell our employees that we, again, governance policy made and said, you have to use these vendors unless there is a absolutely incredible reason not to.
Mm-hmm.
So now what's super exciting to me is beyond putting, we put this policy into place, we put this system out there, we made it simple for our employees to see them, is now 78% of our corporate support vendors are diversely owned.
Oh man, he beat me to the punch. I was just going to ask that. 78%, folks.
Yeah, 78%. And that has a meaningful, talk about community.
That's
meaningful to our community.
That's big.
And it's also meaningful from a planet standpoint. Like, if we can get this from the guy down the road, let's get from the guy down the road. Our sustainable cafe, our tableware, for instance, all compostable now, removed all single-use plastics.
Mm-hmm.
Is from a company down the road.
Down the road,
yeah.
A local small business or something.
And was it a little bit more expensive? Yes, it was. But that was a price we were willing to pay to make sure this happened. So.
Very impressive. Yeah. Very impressive. So we've covered ESG. Where do you, I guess, if I know you said you have some announcements coming out, so I won't breach the wall too hard here, but I'll ask, where do you foresee the future of merchants going over the next, I don't know, 5-10 years? Where do you see, where are y'all heading?
Watch out, world. Here we come.
Yeah.
No, I really think something you'll see, folks will see with our company is we're very much focused within the EV realm right now. That is only going to continue to grow as we try to give growth.
And from what I've seen here, folks, they're not just they're not just in the EV world. This is like they are more than 15 steps ahead of even some of the clients that I work with.
Yeah.
And it is beyond impressive to see a forward-thinking company. And I don't say this often, so you know I'm not talking smack here, folks. This is a company to watch. So my buddies down in the city, you might want to take a look for Merchants Fleet. All you guys on LinkedIn that follow me, and don't give me a subscription yet. I'm watching you. I'm going to have to start charging you soon for stuff like this. But Merchants Fleet is no joke. I'm telling you guys, watch out. So I guess we'll leave it at this as we've now gone through this amazing podcast. And again, the videos will show clearly all the vehicles that you have, the ESG that's going on here, not just inside the business, but they're helping small businesses, local businesses. And that's what ESG is about, folks. I know a lot of people are scared thinking ESG is something that it isn't. So we've tried in this small podcast here to really compress, but also let you guys know what ESG stands for. Because a lot of people just go like what we were joking about in here, what Ted and I were joking, like, what the heck is that? I don't know. But literally, it's about inclusivity. It's about sustainability. It's about giving back. And it's about creating a policy and a mindset and a system, we'll use that word again, whereby everything they're doing, it goes back to environmentalism, sustainability, inclusivity, diversity, and making sure that the company is here, not just today, not just for the quarter, but here for, another 20 plus years. Somebody was saying this is like the 20th anniversary of this show or something like that. So here's to another 20 plus years to Merchants Fleet. Do you have anything else that you wanted to add that you thought that people should know about Merchants Fleet before we wrap this up?
Just watch out, world. Here we come, because there's going to be some radical things coming down the pipeline that I think will excite the folks, excite a broad range of folks, but also do a tremendous good for both the world and people alike. So,
well, you know, it's really exciting when I get to see a company that's growing. I always love doing this. I love working with companies that are growing and are about to like take off. And I've so far been around about 8 or 9 of those companies right before they bottle rocket right out the door. And it looks like we're about to get that here too. But seriously, folks, when you see the stories, please go onto my website, greenlivingguy.com, or my social media. You're going to see how impressive the work they have here. What I mean by that is all the vehicles they have, all the people that they have, and how ESG is not just a three-letter word or a three-letter phrase, but it's a reality, and it's the way to do business going forward to make yourself not just sustainable as like ESG, but like how corporations like to do it, long-term sustainability of your corporation.
Absolutely.
So, thank you, Ted, for your time.
Thank you.
Green Living Guys, one small step at a time. Today is to all you guys out there who's looking for some little extra things to invest or whatever you got to do. Merchants Fleet. Merchants Fleet. Merchants Fleet. Thank you. Peace out.
You've been listening to The Green Living Guy Show with your host, Seth Lightman. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.